It's
Friday.
It's the Teach Computing Podcast. It's the podcast recorded by your friendly Vicky and...
and Alan.
And Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher on Twitter, T-E-K-N-O, and V-I-K-K-I.
K-I-V-I-L-L-E, Vickyville on Twitter. Not Vicky Vile, Vickyville.
Correct. And we record this podcast every week to help teachers to find little episodes and little things that they can try in their class. So that, for example, if they're an ICT teacher and they've been teaching ICT for, oh goodness knows, a very long time, we're trying to give them little ideas and things that they can do. And we share things that we've been doing in our classroom. Mm. And in a moment, you're going to do some sharing, aren't you?
Try, yeah.
You tell us what you've been doing in a moment.
What I've been doing and tearing my hair out with my GCSE Year 10 group, yes.
And I've been trying some of my Year 11 GCSE group today. And then we'll mention some stuff about the Raspberry Jamboree, which is coming up at the end of February and the 1st of March, and something else. I've got a conversation to have with my head teacher where I want to try and persuade them that we need to change the offerings that we've got Key Stage 4.
Right.
So, Vicky, you've had a class this morning, haven't you?
I have, yeah. They're lovely, really. I've been trying to get them to practice their controlled assessment write-up in preparation for getting that started.
Is this A453?
A453, the programming project. So they're in Year 10. They've been covering Python programming since September, plus some other languages and obviously the theory of programming as well. And now the challenge is to get them used to what is required in the write-up so we can get that completed before the end of Year 10. They've seen an exemplar, the example Magic 8-Ball task that I've written up, so they know what kind of subheadings are required and how they need to structure the assignment. And I gave them a sample task, just a very short programming task, and they were supposed to have written up the analysis and design sections as a minimum, and then with some development evidence as well.
So are you finding, though, that they don't really want to do documentation. They just want to go straight in and solve the problem straight away.
Not so much with these lot, actually. Some of them have. The problem is they have no interest in the write-up. But I think because it's a practice task, they don't necessarily see the value in it with some of them. Some of them are going to get a shock when they get the marks.
Sure.
Because I'm marking it using the criteria. Then again, I've got a couple of students who really push the boat out, and it's absolutely fantastic. More than a couple, who've gone above and beyond what I was actually asking them to do.
And we looked at a couple before, and I was amazed at what a broad range there was. There was some that I'd want to give every single mark that was available for.
There's 28 in the class, and it is an extreme, what I would call an extreme range of ability, from very, very low to very,
the kind that would be like
wow.
Champions you
well,
want to
really,
show off.
Yeah, yeah, they should be probably be able to sit, you know, an AS level in if it was just in programming. And again, the write-up and their understanding of what's required, again, is just exceptionally high. For example, just this is a practice task, and they've only had, how many lessons? 2 lessons on it, because they were only doing the, obviously, analysis and design with development evidence. They've only had 2 hours, and he's basically completed a controlled assessment on it with the full testing. The only thing he's been missing is an evaluation. So he'd already be achieving a B grade if I was marking it as the real thing.
I mean, between us, we've been teaching the subject for about 3... Well, what do you mean by between us? 3 years or so. Do you think that this situation is unique to this particular subject, or do you think that in history, in English, that there'd be...
My suspicion is that in other subjects, because they have more classes, then more students opting for the subject,
right.
Are the classes then set? Are they setted? I mean, to have this huge range of ability. At Ashton I had mixed ability class.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've experienced that before. But it's the extreme range where you've got such high ability students in with, say, middle of the road, and then reasonably low ability as well.
So this assignment that they've done today in class, what you plan to do next with that?
Well, they're going to get the marks back on that, and then they're going to do another practice, but going further. Well, tomorrow, actually, we're going to look at testing, exclusively at testing a programme they've already developed and they've got experience of, and the purpose of testing and what it is they need to test for the controlled assessment. And then they're going to do, after doing testing, they're then actually going to do a full practice controlled assessment. Unlike it's not the full the full three tasks that they will have in the actual controlled assessment. It's a practice task, so they will have they'll only have three lessons to do it in, but they'll also be doing it as homework as well to get it completed before the end of next week, and they go on their work experience.
Oh, that's right. So this is good. You're planting them seeds early in their head, so when they come back off work experience, you can kind of just click your fingers and you'd expect that they'd snap straight back into it.
We'll have one running lesson, just basically, right, this is what you're going to be doing, talking about the task, what are the different headings, in going over, identifying the problems and things like that, and then basically they'll go straight into it, which is going to be challenging with that class.
So I've done something actually quite similar with my Year 11s today. So they're about halfway through their investigation assignment, which is A452. And I decided today, because clearly I can't give them any marking feedback on the work that they're doing at the moment, I decided to set them something that wasn't very dissimilar. It involved using the little man computer, but it asked them to explain the meanings of some words, and it gave them an example of a program written in assembly language, and they had to sort of predict what might happen. So it did something like it took in some values and an output something. So they had to predict what value would output. And I deliberately put some sort of red herrings in there to catch them out. And then there was another part where it gave them, they had to solve using an algorithm, something that would start off by displaying the number 10 and then would count backwards till it got to the number 0. And when it got to 0, it would output 0, and then that would be the last thing. And then they had to write a little script to do that. Again, which is what you were saying. When I collected in the scores, about a fifth of the class got full marks out of 25. I got them to mark each other's answers in class, so they got like fairly instant feedback. And then there was another fifth of the class that didn't score more than 2 marks, so lots of zeros, some twos. And then there wasn't really many in the middle. There was one or two, like one got 10 out of 25, another got 16 out of 25, but most were at the polar ends to each other. So, I'm glad we did that exercise, because it gives me, I can only walk around the classroom when they're doing it and I can see what they're doing on their screens, but I don't never really get like an accurate feeling over those 20 hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, really. I mean, at Ashton, we had everything saved into assessment accounts that I could then back up and access. I don't know what we're going to do, what I'm going to do here, actually, how I'm going to approach that.
Now, there was something else that's concerning me, which is the homework standard and the quantity has started to dip in my Year 11 class recently. So a couple of things I've had to do was, so I've started doing more frequently, I've been checking their homework books in class, because they have separate books for those, and then I identified some that weren't bringing their books in, so I wrote an email home to the parents and said to them they could look at the document online at tinyurl.com/10ACO1, and then some that didn't respond I then sent text messages, which was the next level, and then I ran an after school session on Friday. So I got some useful feedback from parents. Some of the parents were saying that they think if I was checking, they think that I'm checking, although I'm checking regularly, they think if I checked more frequently, like every week instead of every few weeks, then that would get a higher response rate to the homeworks. So, now,
I had mine email the homeworks to me, which is why my inbox is now too large.
Yes, yeah.
I would use Moodle, but it wouldn't work today again.
And there's me now. I've gone back to using just old traditional exercise books. And they say, I've not got my exercise book with me.
They've done some of that as well, but because most of mine is programming at the moment, I want them to actually be practising things. So they've had to email me like the challenges that they had to complete and things.
Now, last week on Friday, you said to me, Alan, are you going to bed? And I said, no. And you said,
why not?
Why not?
Why are you not going to bed?
Do you remember when we talked about it? Because you've actually persuaded me. You've changed my mind. So I am going to bed.
Yeah.
What was it you were saying to me that you... Because I've heard all this buzz and hype, and I just kind of thought it was going to be exhibitors, trade...
Trade show. Yeah. No, it's not just a trade show. There's loads of seminars going on, and they have a panel discussion as well. There's loads of new announcements that generally get made, and I'm never forgetting the Michael, the famous Michael Gove one in 2012.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And also just new ideas that can be found at BET. I mean, I found you source at BET a couple of years ago as well.
Sure.
And so there's loads of things like that.
And I've noticed as well, so I think...
Andrew Robinson's doing a session at BET on the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, okay. Well, I know the OCR stand, I've got like a thing that they're saying... All the different, there's going to be lots of Raspberry Pi things on there, and they're going to be giving advice to people about the different GCSE qualifications. One thing I noticed as well, Matthew Venn, somebody I've connected with on Twitter, he's doing some sort of a seminar, a session on computing in the curriculum on the Wednesday. So I will be going down. I think I'm just going to be there on the Wednesday because I'm doing a training course for teachers on the Thursday, just around the corner from BET.
Oh, right. Where are you doing that at?
It's Cumberland School. I kind of thought when I saw Cumberland it was going to be in the Lake District, but it's not.
Ah.
It's in the East End of London. It's about a 20-minute walk from the BET arena place that they're doing that. So I wonder if I can tell you a little bit about the Jamboree. I've been busy this weekend planning our Raspberry Jamboree that we're going to have in Manchester on the 27th and 28th of February. So we've got this two-day conference, two school days.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Saturday, we've got a family hack day, which is happening over Edge Hill University. And you've helped make those strong connections with the likes of Dawn Hewitts and Carl Simmons over there at Edge Hill. So we've got, we're going to have loads of different talks and activities. Last year, when we did an evaluation afterwards,
mm-hmm.
what do you think people would have said last year? What would you guess if we were saying an evaluation? Like what they enjoyed and what they'd like to see more of?
Probably enjoyed the sessions. We had training sessions, but
the hands-on, because
we did an introductory Python session
with Chris Ruffy and Nick Tolliver.
It was Nick Tolliver, we did that, and then there was another one on, I want to say shrimp export, I don't know.
There was one which was connecting hardware to the Raspberry Pi with LEDs and that kind of stuff. That was Ben and Simon and Jason that ran that one. Little robotics one. Well, the feedback, that Python one you did, we got loads of really positive feedback from, and people were complaining, in fact, that there wasn't enough space in the workshops.
Yeah, that was the issue, that there wasn't enough seating for everybody, the rooms weren't big enough.
So we've got even more workshops this time. We've also, I had a suggestion from somebody called Kevin Hainsworth, and he was saying that you get these little, these used to be like a doll hospital where you could go and get help fixing your dolls. So we're going to have
you're going to have a Pi hospital.
A little bit like that, where you can go along and take your Raspberry Pi or say to somebody, I still can't get mine to boot up, or I don't understand. So you can meet the Raspberry Pi gurus help you with it. So all of this
Have you got anybody from the Raspberry Pi Foundation there?
We have.
Carrie-Anne Philbin, I've seen.
We have. Ben Nuttall, Clive Beale, and they all work, as you'd imagine, in the education side of the Raspberry Pi. So they're going to be helping us with different workshops and activities. And
who's attending from OCR then?
So from OCR, well, the OCR are going to have their stand there where they've got loads of Raspberry Pi materials and resources online that people can make use of. We've also got some other people supporting. So we've got Pimeroni, Syntec, ModMyPi, Exa Networks. I'd never heard of them until recently. So what they do is they help provide networking solutions to schools and internet. So we've got a whole host, and we've got people coming from the Magpie, Raspberry Pi Geek.
Where's Carno going?
Carno might be there. I'm not sure. You got me on that one. But it's happening at the same time as the Education Innovation Show. So next door to the Raspberry Jamboree, we're going to have all these trade stands with... And talks and seminars and all sorts of discussions.
Carno sent me their operating system. I haven't actually looked at it yet. The drop and drag.
Which you can then install and run it on your Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, they've sent me a version of it.
I got one as well. I've just got to install
it. It's the one on... Yeah. It's not in beta, it's still in alpha, isn't it? It's still in alpha testing. They want to see what I think of it.
Now, something else to mention, which is... tomorrow, that you think, well, hang on, today's Friday, that would be Saturday, but tomorrow...
Not tomorrow, later today.
Yeah, some point.
Later today.
Yeah. Some point I've got a meeting...
Some point this week.
...with my head teacher and deputy head here, and I'm trying to persuade them that we need to change the way that we're offering our Key Stage 4 options. So, because we've got all these different directives now from the DfE saying that computing should be, it's compulsory, as it has always been when
computing
it was ICT.
Computing is compulsory, but not
necessarily
science.
Computer science. Yeah. Although they are encouraging schools to teach computer science, and they'd like to make
offer
it more available.
Computer science, yes. Yeah, but it's not compulsory.
But also computer science now is going to be in the Performance 8 measures, which is like the old EBAC
but
sort of rating.
That's computer science, not computing.
Correct, which is not to be confused with the same.
Yes.
And one of the things that you and I are finding at the moment is we're teaching this 1 hour a week, the core ICT, and that brings to us lots of challenges about how to make it, you know, feel like it's something that's really worth doing and really valued. We're looking at a document. No, we have scrolled up to the very top.
I want that there.
You want to see tiering. Yeah. So what used to happen was in the Key Stage 4 qualifications, there'd be foundation and a higher tier. So,
Right.
I think what I'll do now is I might just pause this podcast and then go round to Bet and talk to some people at Bet. Or maybe I could not just pause it and I could just carry on the conversation we're having.
So what is the proposal then?
Well,
for
the proposal, it came from a discussion with you, which was we're going to try and argue a case that every child in Key Stage 4 should study one of the computing qualifications. So that could which could be the computer science. So it could be the OCR computer science GCSE.
Yeah.
Or you may choose option B, which is GCSE ICT.
Yeah.
Or maybe option C is the option that might suit you most, which is the BTEC digital.
Do you do BTEC or do you do OCR?
Oh.
It's different.
Are they different?
Yeah.
The creative media. Yeah.
Creative eye media.
Yeah. So they're the three options we're planning to offer. Maybe now I'll pause it now and we can go and talk to some people at Bet. So I've arrived at Bet, and it's the first day of Bet, and I'm on the exit education stand talking to Mark Cowgill.
Morning.
Morning. Now, Mark, I'm really pleased to announce you're one of our sponsors of the Raspberry Jamboree.
We are.
Which is happening in Manchester at the end
of
February.
In a couple of weeks, yeah.
That's right. Just the week after half term. Why do you want to be associated with the Raspberry Pi? Is there a certain...
I think it comes back to getting people involved at a grassroots level. And Raspberry Pi in particular lets youngsters or people, you know, from not as privileged a background get into programming and understanding computing at a very basic level and to be able to do some fairly advanced stuff. And as well as being an internet service provider, we are a software development house ourselves.
Sure.
So it's in our own selfish interest to make sure that the kids that are coming through school and people coming out of university have got a much better understanding of programming. And Raspberry Pi really does that. So that's why we've been involved since the start.
Can you think of any applications, any practical things that you've done that
connect? It's funny you should mention that. Yeah, on our stand, we've used Raspberry Pi. We've got an interactive lighting going on, which we've used some of the coding that we developed as part of my co-director's coding club, which we run at Exeter at a weekend.
And where does this take place?
This takes place at our head office in Bingley in West Yorkshire.
Right, okay.
And we run that. It's free of charge coding club for youngsters up to 18. And I guess if people older wanted to join as well, they'd be more than welcome. And we started developing some really basic software, but using Raspberry Pi, to make our stand a bit more interactive this year. And if you have a look round, no good for podcasts, but you'll be able to see, Alan, the sign has just changed to orange, which I tweeted about a minute before we started talking. Put on there for just put a couple of simple hashtags, hashtag Bet2014, hashtag ExaStandB60, and then a colour, whatever colour you want. So I picked orange to go with my top, and as you can see, it's now changed to orange.
This is one of the things that shows how the Raspberry Pi can sit there and can interface between some hardware in the real world and then the software, which is Twitter. And it can pick things up from that and then...
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a really good example of sort of pulling in social media, grassroots programming, and just the visual effects that you can make. And let's face it, I'm from Yorkshire. If I can do something a bit on the cheaper and make it sort of inviting to other people and give people an idea of what you can do, then why not? And Raspberry Pi lets us do all that. So that's why we really do get involved. That's why we've got the Jamboree in a couple of weeks. We're big supporters of it.
Brilliant. So, travelling all the way down from Yorkshire, you've got this huge big stand here. What's your main motive at Bet? What's the message you're trying to give out to teachers?
Really, I mean, as I say, we're an internet service provider. So we're trying to let them know that there's alternatives to some of the longer-term things that they've been part of, such as the Grid for Learning or local authority. We look after thousands of schools from the top of Scotland to the Isles of Scilly, from Northern Ireland to East Anglia, so length and breadth of the UK. And it's letting them see what we can do, let them have a look at our content filtering, so protect, understand and see how that works, get sort of a touch and a feel, and to be able to speak to someone. At various levels, from really technical, we've got one of our main
face-to-face
network engineers,
not on the phone,
but also our salespeople, our product development people, to get understand what we're doing, but also what do they want to see, because then we've got a year to get it ready for next year.
Sure.
So we get some really good feedback by just sitting down and listening. It's not about selling. We don't actually sell on the stand.
Yes.
No one can take anything away. There's no books or gadgets. But it's about letting them know what we do.
And if people want to find out a little bit more about this Raspberry Pi controlled lighting,
absolutely.
How do they do that? Is there a Twitter handle or something?
If they come onto the stand, we can show them it and talk a bit more about it.
And if they're online,
If they're online, if they go to Exa's website, and we have a special bet page which you can get to from our own page, so exa.net.uk, and then follow the links to bet.
And Exa is EXA.
EXA.net.uk. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Mark.
You're very welcome.
Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Alan.
Is it video or
audio? Just audio. That laugh
That's
is unmistakable. It is. That laugh is unmistakable. I've listened to some of your podcasts, and it starts with that laugh. That's how I always know.
Aww.
For those people who cannot see, the listeners at home, I've now met, I've bumped into Dr. Sue Black.
Yeah, just call me Sue, that's fine.
And one of the great things about coming to an event like this is you meet all the people in real life that you communicate with every day on Twitter. And, do you know, I imagine there's some people who listen to this podcast who go, Dr. Black, who's she? Who is she?
Yeah, well, you tell me. I don't even know. I'm a different person every day.
Well, some people say Sue Black, she's the saviour of Bletchley Park and all that sort of campaigning you did.
I like campaigning.
Yeah, you like to get things to happen. You've worked in the Department of Computer Science at...
Various universities.
Yeah. A Londoner.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the things that struck me about you is when you get this opinion that something's just not quite right, you know, you get up and rather than go blah, 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 you get up and do something about it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I can't. If I see a problem, I have to go and try and sort it out.
So tell me, what's the latest problem that you're trying to solve?
I'm trying to get the world tech savvy. So I think that there are massive opportunities for people who understand even just some very basic stuff in technology. And lots of people are basically being kept back because they don't understand that stuff. So the whole idea is to get the world tech savvy.
So would one example be, yesterday I had to race to get my train. And as I was leaving school, a female colleague who's not a teacher came to me and said, Alan, listen, I need some advice. My daughter... who's 8 and my son who's 15, they're using all this stuff at home and I don't have a clue what they're using. My daughter's 8 and she's asking me, should be on Facebook. She says, I need like a course or something to get me up to that point. This is the kind of thing you're talking about.
That's absolutely it. Yeah, that's a very good intro to what I was going to say, Alan. Thank you. So in trying to get the world tech savvy, I've been thinking for several years now, how can I do that the most quickly and effectively? And started looking at doing stuff with kids, but then realised that if the kids then went home and the parents were negative about the technology, we didn't get very far.
Yes.
So then thought about working with parents and getting parents tech savvy, and then realised that actually if we target the mums, we'll get the whole family, because probably the dads, in a traditional family anyway, we get the mums, the dads will come on board, the kids will come on board, and probably the extended family will come on board, because the mums, if they're excited about it, will go out and tell everybody and get them doing it too. And so that's why we started with mums.
So has this initiative got like a catchy name?
Did I not say the name?
No.
Oh my God, my media training. Tech Mums, it's called Tech Mums. And it's at Savvy Tech Mums on Twitter.
And what is it? Is it an online network? Is it a community? Do people go to events or are there...
It's basically running a school. So basically we're looking for schools to run Tech Mums across the country. We've started in London, in Tower Hamlets and in the Kingston area. And the idea is that it's for the full programme, it's 2 hours a week. We get 20 mums come in for 5 weeks, and it's an eSkills accredited programme.
And so the first week we do stuff like basic familiarization with the computer, email, and basically kind of Google
like
apps.
E-safety issues as well? Like,
that's in week four. Oh, very good. Okay, so you're racing ahead there. So week one is a kind of email, creating a document, creating a spreadsheet, that kind of stuff. And we get all the mums into a Google group so that they can ask us questions during the week or talk to each other.
If they're in a group, you're allowing them to be the resource. They can support each other as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So and the idea is we grow it and grow it and grow it and grow it. Brilliant. And then it becomes almost kind of self-sustaining in terms of people helping each other out. And so should I just run through what else we do? Yep. So the second week is app design. So we use the apps for good stuff in week two. The third week is a bit of web design, HTML. The fourth week is social media and online security. And the fifth week is coding in Python.
Wow. That's like...
I had to get the coding in there.
It's a very diverse program.
And what's really funny is, so the other people involved with me at the beginning when we were setting up the curriculum were worrying about coding and having coding in for mums, thinking it would put them off. So that's why we put it in the last week. And there was some discussion, should we leave it in, should we take it out? And I was like, that's actually the main thing I want them to do out of the whole thing. I want to lead them up to understanding a little bit of code.
You're not turning them into a computer scientist or a programmer.
No, it's all about building confidence and skills, really, so that they can go out there and talk about these things knowledgeably. They understand some of the buzzwords. We have Raspberry Pi stuff in the last week as well. And what happened was when we gave the questionnaires out to the mums on our pilot at the end, their favourite session was Raspberry Pi, Python coding Raspberry Pis. So I was like, yes, the mums loved it.
It sounds like a fantastic initiative that would solve some of the teachers who listen to this podcast have said, how do you get families more involved?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a danger with it being called Tech Mums that dads will think, well, this is not for me, you know, or...
We thought long and hard about whether to make it Tech Parents, and...
Doesn't sound as catchy, does it?
It's not catchy. Of course we want dads involved. We've just decided that this is our first initiative, and we're going to have loads more initiatives, right? So Tech Dads could be the next thing, and it'll be slightly, we're going to do lots of things and target different groups, but we just started with mums, because mums are the best.
See, one of the groups that I'm a member of is the Manchester Girl Geeks, and I'm not a girl, I'm a geek.
Yeah.
But the way that they promote it is say, well, bring a girl along, or, you know, if you want to encourage a girl, then blokes are just as as welcome as girls are.
With the mums, because a lot of them are so underconfident in this area, it is quite nice if it's just mums. They don't worry about anyone not knowing stuff and kind of anyone knowing more than anyone else. And I think if we just keep it to mums to start with, at least it's more of a supportive environment, because lots of them are very insecure about, you know, about all of the stuff that we're doing. So it's a more kind of supportive environment, I think.
Right.
But we love dads too.
Changing tack slightly then. Yeah. We've just come out of the Michael Gove speech.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Oh, I know. So
that
inspiring.
That man is my idol. I worship him.
Just so inspiring. It made me think.
Absolutely.
And he could leave Bets now straight away, go back to school and carry on the teaching.
Yeah, I mean, he should be the Prime Minister. He is such an amazing guy. Can you tell we're being a bit ironic?
One of the things I did notice was he was very careful to mention a couple of key successful companies that he'd been.
Like Google. I think he mentioned Google and the
OCR,
and Google,
the exam board. Yeah. And he mentioned
Microsoft a few times.
Right, And then
MOOCs. MOOCs. Talk about MOOCs a lot.
Yeah.
And he managed to say Snapchat, which, you know, I'm impressed.
One of the things that made me... I'm cynical. And every time he talks about things like MOOCs, I can think, there's another way they can save money, because... We don't even need to send children to school.
We could just shoot all the teachers. We don't need teachers. Yeah.
So you've you don't strike me as the kind of person who would normally come to an exhibition all about education. What are you hoping to do while you're here?
I don't know.
No, like,
why?
Well, it's a trade show.
Education is my life.
No,
why are you saying that?
But no, an educational conference. But this is more.
Oh, okay,
of an
a trade
exhibition.
Show. I just wanted to see what was here, basically. See what's here. See what's happening. See who's pitching schools for their money. And just kind of have a look around.
Meet people like you
who inspire me.
So we're running out of time. If people want to follow you on Twitter,
I'm at Dr. Black, which is at dr_black. Sorry, that's so crap. And at Savvy Tech Mums is Tech Mums. And techmums.co is our website.
And
which
because there is a Twitter handle I've seen for
at
Tech
Savvy
Mums.
Tech Mums.
Yeah, we can follow what's going on.
I've said it three times now, that's good.
Yeah, with Tech Mums. That's four, points? Five Tech Mums?
Did you say
Tech Mums?
No, yeah, did you mention Tech Mums?
It was, I think I mentioned Tech Mums first, but then you mentioned Tech Mums. So, Sue, thank you very much. Enjoy, Bet.
Thank you.